guys, the way you handle every week to me is just absolutely amazing. It's special, man, and you guys do it every single week. Every week's different, and you guys handle it, and you grow together. We do it together, everybody, man. It's the best, and it feels so good.
This is the Full Press Bears Podcast, a part of Full Press Coverage. Here's your host and diehard Chicago Bears fan, Kyle George.
You are ridiculous.
Get ready to bear down.
Thank you, thank you, and go Bears!
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Full Press Bears. I'm your host, as always, Kyle George, and this show is about da Bears all da time. You can follow me on Twitter at KEGeorge94. Our news coverage is at Full Press Bears. You can email me at FullPressBears@gmail.com. You can call me and leave a voicemail at 847-580-3528, and it could be featured here on the show. I especially want to hear your in-game, post-game, pre-game reactions. Let's hear them. Let's get them fired up. Get those phone lines going. I would love to hear from you, not only on the phone, but also on your favorite podcast site. Leave a review. Feedback is really helpful to me to learn how I can grow as a podcaster and as a host, so please leave me feedback, whether it's positive or negative. I'd love to hear your criticism. You can find this on all your popular podcast platforms such as Apple and Spotify and Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Breaker. I think it's on iHeartRadio soon. It's all over the place. But if you're unsure ever of where to go, I would recommend going to either fullpresscoverage.com or download the Full Press Coverage app and find this podcast along with many other great ones there as well. Wherever you go, though, be sure to subscribe. All right, we've got a loaded show for you today. This is normally our game preview show, and it's being released on a Friday instead of a Thursday because we have Monday Night Football this week against the Rams. And I was going to actually record it on Wednesday, release on Thursday, but I didn't have an injury report because they're doing everything a day later because of Monday Night Football. So there's been a lot of, honestly, NFC North relevant and Bears relevant news that has developed since Monday. And we still have our interview with a Rams expert, Alexis Kraft of Downtown Rams. We'll be here to discuss the matchup. I've got the injury report, all sorts of stuff for you. So let's get right into it. And I'm going to start with just some other pieces of news that have come out since Monday. So first and foremost, Kairos Santos, our fearless kicker, was named the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. And I put that here because it's notable to me how well Kairos Santos has played this year. He's been very reliable, which is kind of an understatement. And his game against the Panthers was perfect. And it was a 55-yarder that he nailed down the middle. Plenty of leg on it. Perfect aim. If this guy can be as good as he looked against Carolina, and just as he's looked this year, you might have the Bears kicker problem solved. And for all the people that love Eddie Pinheiro out there, I liked him too, but I mean, he's clearly has trouble with injury. And what did he really show you last year, other than that game in Denver, that makes him someone that you really want as your long-term solution? Kairos Santos is 28. He was a high draft pick. He was reliable before he had his own injury. And if he is fully over his injury, which would be really surprising for a kicker, but if he truly is and is performing at this level all the time, the Bears just landed a top, you know, like a top 10 kicker for nothing. So Kairos Santos, or Carlos Santos, as John Fox likes to call you, do your thing, man. Keep going. Good, we've gotten good results thus far, so whatever you're doing, keep it going. Pat O'Donnell, good job holding that ball on those snaps. So I've been very pleased with Cairo Santos. It's no surprise to me. He's a special teams player of the week for the NFC. I'd like to see a few more of those from him. I'd also like to see Cordarrelle Patterson on this list sometime soon because he is always at the top of his game on special teams. All right, next piece of news here is the Bears signed a depth piece at the linebacker position. It's a name you've probably heard of before, especially if you're a Notre Dame fan. Manti Te'o has been signed by the Chicago Bears to their practice squad as a linebacker depth piece. Look, I'm a Notre Dame fan. I'm very excited about this signing for multiple reasons. But primarily, I mean, with today and the nature of just COVID and injuries in the NFL, you can never be too stacked in one position. You can never have enough depth. So signing another linebacker is huge. And Manti Te'o was not the star in the NFL like he was at Notre Dame, but he was not a bad linebacker either. And so you get a decent linebacker for, again, practically nothing because he's just to the practice squad. And you have this depth piece. I wouldn't be surprised if they do bring him up, whether that be for special teams or for depth at linebacker or both, especially if there happens to be an injury in one of those places or somebody underperforming. So we shall see. We shall see. I would really like to see him get a shot on an actual Sunday, dressed up and ready to go. So I hope we get to see Manti Te'o out there playing. And you can say all the invisible girlfriend jokes as you want, but let's move past that. Come on, I mean, that was a long time ago. But Manti Te'o with the Bears, very exciting. Another person that could be signed soon, and I hope is, this has been all over Bears Twitter. So if you are a Bears fan on Bears Twitter, I'm sure you've heard about this, but the Bills released Quinton Spain, who is a left guard. And I'm not as familiar. There's not as many flashy guard names around in the NFL. But from doing my own research, Quinton Spain is what has been a starter past few years. He seems to have been pretty good. And all indications would be that he would be an upgrade for the Bears at left guard. And meanwhile, left guard, by the way, that's where James Daniels was playing, who is now injured and out for the season. And that's where Rashad Coward played last Sunday and didn't look that great. And that's also where Alex Bars could fill in, who maybe could be good. But Quinton Spain is an upgrade over all those guys. Maybe not James Daniels, but at least over Coward and Bars. So, to be honest with you, I'm starting to get a little concerned that he's not signed yet by the Bears. I don't know if there's like a waiver wire order that is being waited on because he was released, not waived. I don't know the differences with all those things. So I'm not sure. I'm hoping that it's just that they're waiting for it to get far enough down the line, because if Pace doesn't sign this guy, what is he even doing as a general manager? Like, it's plain as day to anybody that the offensive line is arguably the weakest spot in our offense. And obviously, an upgrade at left guard would be huge for Nick Foles and the running game and everything. So please, Pace, I know you're listening. Please sign Quinton Spain. All right. The next big piece of news is not directly related to the Bears, but it kind of is because it's in the NFC. Today it was announced that the Minnesota Vikings traded away Yannick Ngakoue to the Ravens, whom they had just traded for right before this season started. So Ngakoue has a nice 6-week trip in Minnesota and gets out before it gets too crazy snowy and cold up there. So, but this is an indication, as much as anything, that the Vikings are calling it a season. They're packing it in. Let's tank, essentially. Let's see what we can get. As a Bears fan, you know, I think the Vikings are better than just one win. I think I still see the Vikings with 4 or 5 wins on the season. I haven't analyzed their schedule, but I feel like their talent is still at that level. But at the same time, Danielle Hunter, it was announced he had surgery and he's done for the season as well. So you have an injured and very young defense. And, you know, should we just wait and see what happens? I guess is what the Vikings are saying. And, yeah, I think the Vikings will be really good, like a dominant team in maybe 2 years, 3 years. But as for 2020, they're kind of gifting the Bears two wins here. I know a division game is never an easy W, but when you're essentially tanking and you soften your defense, I don't know. I feel pretty good about that. So you could take the Bears 5-1 record and essentially chalk them up as 7-1 right now, depending on how, you know, things shake out. So that's big piece of news for the NFC North and for the Bears. And then the last piece of news I want to talk about is I recommend highly you subscribing to The Athletic. They have a deal right now. They're not a sponsor or anything. It's a free ad. But Adam Johns, a writer for the Bears, many of you probably follow him who are listening. He published an article comparing the 2018 defense to the 2020 defense through six games. And let me tell you, there are some remarkable similarities, improvements from 2018 to 2020. So I'm going to run through these with you real quick because we are a little short on time because we have so much to talk about today. So first things first, points allowed per game. The 2018 through six games allowed 22.3. 2020, we're at 19.3. That's awesome. The Bears, I think, are one of only five teams to have a points allowed per game average of less than 20. So that's pretty awesome. Rush yards per game, 2020, we are conceding more, 113 per game. 2018 was 87.5. Net pass yards, this is where it improves a lot. In 2020, is only 224 pass yards. 2018 was 263. Third down percentage in 2018 was 38.5. 2020 is 31.8. Red zones, 57.1 percentage in 2018, 36.4% in 2020. That, my friends, is why the Bears in 2020 have the best red zone defense. Sacks, 2018 and 19. 2020, there's 15. Passer rating in 2018 for the opposing quarterbacks, 89. In 2020, 73.5. Wow. That's a statement about the Bears secondary, right? I mean, arguably, Tashaun Gibson is the weakest player there, right? Jalen Johnson's been playing out. Kyler Fuller is a baller. Eddie Jackson is all pro every time. That's amazing right there. And then the biggest disparity is the takeaways. 2018, they had 17 at this point, and in 2020, they had 8. But you know what? It's arguably more impressive the way the Bears' defense has played, considering they haven't had those takeaways. And I'm just so pumped for this defense. I think if they continue playing the level they're playing, the takeaways will come, and eventually they'll match that number. So I wouldn't fear Bears fans. This defense, I think, is just as good as 2018, and they have the potential to be even better. So let's get in from there into some of my general thoughts on the Bears' upcoming opponent, the Los Angeles Rams. In general, when I look at these two teams, I feel like they are very similar. Both teams have a lot of really solid playmakers on defense, namely Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey for the Bears, Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, Akeem Hicks. I'd say the Bears have a stronger defense for sure. And then both teams have inconsistent offenses. That being said, the best unit on the field on Monday night will be the Bears defense. Worst unit, Bears offense. And I feel like the Rams, the gap between the success of their two units is much smaller. So when you average everything out together, I feel like these teams are honestly just very similar. And that makes this for a compelling matchup to me. Now, if you're an offensive person and you're looking forward to a, 38-34 game, I would temper your expectations for that, because realistically, this is going to be a game. I'll get into my score prediction later, but this is going to be like a very rough game, most likely, because there's good defenses here. And like I said, inconsistent offenses. So that is what's, to me, most intriguing about this game. The Rams, it's hard to judge how good they are, they've been. They did play well with the Bills, even though they lost that game. But their only victories have been against the NFC East, and we all know how bad the NFC East is. The Bears, now having beaten 2-3-win teams back-to-back, they're starting to look way more legit as a team than I think anyone was giving them credit for through the first four games. So it really is, to me, I see the Bears as almost the favorite here, even though the Rams are favored by 6 points, which is a very high line if you ask me. Goff is for sure the better quarterback. The Rams for sure have the better offense. But at the same time, if you look at Goff's numbers against the Bears, they are bad. The Bears have done a phenomenal job in limiting what Goff can do. In his two games in his career he's played against the Bears, he has 0 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. That is bad. And he has a passer rating in the 40s. So the key here, obviously, is that the Bears need to keep pressure on Goff, and I think that they'll be able to do that. And if the Bears can keep pressure on Goff, then in terms of the Rams' offensive output, it will definitely be limited and stifled. As for the Bears on offense, it's going to be another rough night, okay? The Rams don't have the strongest run defense, but we've seen how the Bears' run offense has not been great. So then you're breaking it down to basically the passing game. And you have Jalen Ramsey, who's basically he's a really good corner. It'll be a rough night for Allen Robinson, so you need to hope that Mooney and Miller can really step up. Maybe Kmet and Graham get out there, get some looks as well. David Montgomery coming out of the backfield or on screens. We really need to see some production from the other receivers this game, because Allen Robinson's just, he's not going to be there because he's going to be covered by Ramsey. So the key, though, the biggest key to the Bears on offense, and the key for any offense facing the Rams, is you have to neutralize Aaron Donald in some way, because the dude is a freak athlete, and he, as a nose tackle, he has 7 sacks this year as a nose tackle. It's absurd what this guy can do. He has muscles on top of muscles on top of muscles. And the Bears offensive line hasn't been good recently. So hopefully you can double team. Heck, I don't even care if you triple team him. Do whatever it takes to take him out of the game. And I think you'll end up with some better results maybe than maybe you would anticipate with him playing in the game. But keep Foles upright as much as you can. And hopefully your secondary receivers can be at least halfway competent. Hopefully Miller doesn't make any stupid decisions. Hopefully Foles doesn't overthrow Mooney. I'd really like to see the Bears' offense in the passing game maybe take a step forward. I know that might be a lot to ask against the Rams' defense, but I think you can look to see a step forward even with Robinson out, because if the other pass receivers look good, you should be in good shape. The last thing I want to talk about is the Rams offense. So I mentioned limiting Goff. The running game, not that much that I'm worried about. The Rams don't really have a number one running back. They kind of have these three random running backs. They're going between. In the Bears running game, defense has improved greatly over the past couple games. They're down to now like 3 yards per attempt, and that's what you want to see. So I'm hoping that can continue this week against the Rams. And as for the passing game, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are great. Tyler Higbee is a good tight end. But the Bears secondary, I just went over the passer rating numbers, passing yards numbers. The secondary of the Bears is so good. I don't think these guys are going to have huge games either. So we will see how this game goes. But overall, I feel pretty positive about the Bears' chances to come out on top in this game. All right, the next thing we need to cover on our game preview episode here is the injury report. So this is on Thursday, October 22nd, that I'm recording this. And right now on the injury report, Alex Bars showed up with a shoulder, but he practiced in full. Deion Bush had a hamstring. He's limited, which is an encouraging sign because the past few weeks he's been not practiced. And so finally he shows up limited. Rashad Coward with a finger, limited. Maybe a reason to start Bars, even though he was on here with a shoulder. Ted Ginn Jr., he was a non-injury resting veteran. Same for Jimmy Graham. Akeem Hicks has an illness. That's something to watch for just because of COVID. Not sure how that might change things going forward. So we'll see what happens with him. Eddie Jackson showed up with a shoulder, but he's full. Sherrick McManus is back on there with a hamstring, which is sad because he was looking good on special teams last week. After coming back from a hamstring injury, he's back on with another hamstring. He did not practice. Buster Skrine had an ankle, and he did not practice. So I don't know who the Bears' number two slot corner is. So we'll hopefully Skrine can get back into practicing later this week. Danny Trevathan did not practice as a resting veteran. And Brent Urban has a knee, but he practiced in full. So again, overall healthy Bears defense. Biggest name there is Akeem Hicks. Hopefully he can recover from whatever illness he's dealing with, and hopefully it is not COVID related. All right, let's get into our interview with Alexis Kraft of Downtown Rams. Our listeners, well, I'm really excited to bring on Alexis Kraft of Downtown Rams to talk about this Bears Rams Monday Night Football matchup. So, Alexis, thanks for coming on, and how are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to talk about Rams-Bears. My dad's side of the family are all Bears fans, so I'm very familiar.
Very awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, none of my side of the family are Rams fans, so I'm less familiar.
That's all right.
So first, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you come to podcasting about the Rams?
I was born and raised in St. Louis. I am currently living in the Chicago area, but I was born and raised in St. Louis while the Rams were in St. Louis. So I kind of grew up a Rams fan, a really diehard fan, stayed a fan after they moved back to LA back in 2016. And then, you know, I kind of was just on Twitter tweeting about the Rams kind of for fun, just live tweeting games and things like that. And when they were in the playoffs in 2019, it was the year that they went to the Super Bowl. I just tweeted like a picture of myself outside in the snow in Rams gear, and the Rams official account retweeted it.
Oh, nice.
So then I started getting followed by all these Rams fans. So I started following them. And then Jake Ellenbogen of Downtown Rams messaged me and asked if I wanted to write a few pieces for the website, for the Downtown Rams website. So I said, sure. Wrote a few things for them, and then he invited me on for an episode of the podcast. So I did an episode of the podcast kind of in draft season. It was about the draft, and then long story short, people liked it, so I kept coming back, and then I was made co-host. Yeah,
that's awesome. It's funny you mentioned that you are living in the Chicago area, because something in my brain when I was working out the schedule for you, something in my brain was like, oh, she probably lives out in LA, which is why I kept sending you what the Pacific time was.
Yeah, I know. I should have clarified, because we could have worked something out, but
That's all right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's super cool how just a picture led to all of this. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So what I want to know from you is, in three words, could you describe the Rams season so far?
Surprising on both fronts, good and bad. Surprising, relieving, and optimistic.
Oh, okay. I like those. So you said surprising on both fronts. Does that mean both offense and defense, or what do you mean by that?
I've been surprised, both pleasantly and unpleasantly surprised by, you know, certain things that the Rams have done this season. They haven't, they've struggled in a few different areas with inconsistency and things like that have kind of been surprising to me. It's just not what I expected a lot. Some of it I expected, but a lot of the stuff that's kind of happened, both good and bad, I haven't seen coming from the Rams. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, when I look at the Rams from my, I have limited knowledge on the Rams, but when I look at them, I see a team that has a lot of talented playmakers on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. So as of now in the season, which side would you say is the stronger unit?
The offense. I think the offense is definitely stronger. The defense is kind of weird because it's like we have Aaron Donald, who is the best player in football, in my opinion. Definitely best defensive player in football. Khalil Mack is a close second, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with how Aaron Donald puts up those numbers with being a nose tackle.
Right. So. Yeah. He's just a freak. He's just insane. Like, he's so fun to watch. But so we have like him and Jalen Ramsey, and then some other guys that are really talented, but the way that they're kind of playing as a unit is not great. I mean, we could really get into that, but yeah, I'd say the offense is way more consistent than our defense, and is just kind of flowing a lot better.
Gotcha. So considering the defense then, since we brought it up, I wasn't able to watch all of the Sunday night game against the 49ers, but it seemed what the Niners did well, and what the story always is for any team against the Rams, is to neutralize Aaron Donald. And so the Bears offensive line has been not great recently. If they can somehow find a way to quote unquote neutralize Aaron Donald, what do you anticipate the Rams will be able to do against Nick Foles and the Bears bottom third offense?
Well, so the interesting thing about the Rams defense is you're right. The offensive lines, the only way that has been proven to somewhat slow down Aaron Donald is to double team or triple team him. If you watch him in any play this season, he's always double teamed. And so the Bears will definitely do that. So if you're a Rams fan, you're thinking, okay, well, if Aaron Donald gets double teamed, that's going to open up our pass rush. That's a problem we're having. We don't have a pass rush. Mm-hmm. So if I'm the Bears, I'm definitely going to be aware of that. But at the same time, our run defense is really struggling. So you can make the argument. But looking at the Bears, I will say, just looking at your running game, I would maybe look to throw the ball instead of run it. Now you might be okay, because like I said, our Rams run defense has not been great. They haven't been that bad, but they haven't been anything special by any means. But I definitely, if I were you guys, would be looking to throw the ball. Because, you know, our pass rush is just pretty much, you know, non-existent. So if you can double team Aaron Donald, you might have some success throwing the ball.
That's interesting, because you bring up the run, and that the Rams, one of the weaknesses on defense is the run, and the Bears, it seems to matter not at all who they play now, because they just got off a week of Carolina. They were like 29th ranked rush defense, and the Bears ran for like 60 yards. So I don't think that'll be an issue for the Rams. So thinking about, I guess kind of like the stories coming into this game, one of the stories that I've been kind of looking at, and you know, we're recording this on Tuesday, so it's almost a whole week before we see this game played. But as of now on Twitter, a lot of what I'm seeing is people being like, yeah, well, the Rams have only beat the four really bad teams in the NFC East. And then I've also seen people say the Bears really are not as good as what their record shows. So which team would you say is more likely, the pretender or the paper tiger?
I would say probably the Bears, because it is true that the Rams played four games in the NFC East, which is the worst division of football. I think everybody can agree. It's almost comical. Well, it is comical. It's just, I don't understand it, but so that's true. However, you know, I would just say talent wise, I mean, the Rams, if you look at their game against the Buffalo Bills, we ultimately ended up losing that game off of a really bad call at the end of the game. But, you know, we were down by a lot. The Rams came out and did not play well. They didn't play well. So I, as well as everyone else, kind of had the, oh, okay, here we go. We're playing a real team. We're going to see what we're made of now. But I mean, we rallied back and got the lead. I mean, we were down 28-3, kind of that infamous infamous scoreline there, but we were down and we came back like 30, I think it was 31 to 23, ended up losing like 34, 31, or I don't have the number in front of me, but you know, I think the Rams' problem is that they have a lot of talent, but our problem seems to kind of be like working as a unit, especially defensively. This season, I think the Bears also have a lot of talent. But I think, your quarterback kind of question, it obviously, I mean, you would know more than I in the running game, but I do think you guys have a lot of key, really talented pieces though. So, you know, I think a lot of people are giving the Bears, you know, flack for being 5-1, but I mean, you have to respect a team that's 5-1. I mean, you still won the games. It doesn't matter who you played. It doesn't matter how you did it. I mean, you won the games. So, and that's what I have said about the Rams going against the Bears is, you know, yeah. I mean, a lot of Rams fans might dismiss the fact that they're the Bears and that they shouldn't be 5-1, but my philosophy is they are, and you can't go into any game. True. You know, you can win any game and you can lose any game. I really believe that in the NFL. So, I, you know, I think that, you know, we can't predict exactly what will happen.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said there. And I even agree with you saying that I think by the end of the season, we could see the Bears being the more likely pretender, just because when you look at like the Bears, I think the best unit on the field on Monday night will be the Bears defense, but the Bears offense will clearly be the worst unit on the field. And I think the Rams both have, I feel like the gap between their defense and offense is so much smaller that I feel like that moves them ahead because they're a little more consistent on both sides of the ball than the Bears are. But that's kind of just my own thoughts there.
You know what the shame is though about the Bears being 5-1 for you guys?
What's that?
It's the Trevor Lawrence thing. It's because in my mind at this point, if you need a quarterback, it's like, if it were me, I'd be like, well, you know, if my team tanks, it's not the worst thing in the world, but you know, you never know what could happen.
I've said, that I don't care the cost. Like if the Bears had to trade like the next 20 years of first round draft picks or something to get Trevor Lawrence, I'd be like, do it. Just do it.
Yeah. I don't think
they will, but,
I don't think they will either.
Bears Twitter seems to be in love with Mac Jones out of BYU a lot because he does look good, but also because Jim McMahon was from BYU. And so everyone's like, and Jim McMahon wasn't even like a great quarterback. So I don't know. Bears Twitter, just sometimes they don't know what they're talking about. Hey,
really, really quick. Do you mind if I let my dog out?
Go for it.
Okay. Sorry.
Go for it. No problem. Love you, Bears Twitter.
Sorry. I'm watching my grandpa's dog right now.
Okay.
And she is a very manic. I love her, but she's, she only does this when I'm on a podcast. I think that it's psychological.
Because you're not giving her attention.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely well executed on her part. It never fails. Every time I'm on a podcast and like I'm recording something, she comes over and just loses her mind. And
I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I know all about like fighting for attention.
Yeah.
There. So we talked about the Rams defense compared to the Bears offense a lot, but then thinking now about the Rams offense, I feel like one of the stories I've heard about is with Todd Gurley now gone, there's kind of these three running backs the Rams have. And early in the season, I heard it described as running back by committee, and running the ball has been the Bears' biggest weakness defensively. Mm-hmm. So who will get the most looks and who will be the most successful on Monday against the Bears?
So I do think that the Rams are going to run the ball against the Bears. I mean, I think that you guys have a relatively good pass rush. I mean, Khalil Mack is also someone to look out for. I think the Rams are going to run the ball a lot. And you're right. The Rams wanted the running back by committee. So you've got Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson, and Malcolm Brown. Akers, we have not seen a lot of. So Akers got injured in week two or three of the season and was out for a little while. He's finally back. They have not been using him a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of out of an abundance of caution because he has one of those rib injuries that don't go away so quick. So it seems like Henderson actually has been getting the most carries. So I expect that to continue. He's got the hot hand. You know, lately, every time Henderson gets the ball, he makes the most of it and has been playing really, really well. So I think that he's going to get most of the carries against the Bears.
Interesting. So then going from the run to then just the Rams offense as a whole, what do the Bears need to do to stymie the Rams offensive attack?
So definitely stopping the run. Because I'm pretty confident that'll probably be the first thing that the Rams try to do. And then I would say, other than that, I mean, we have a pretty decent wide receiver duo with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods.
Yeah.
So what we've been seeing a lot this year is if you can contain at least one of those guys, then it's definitely going to slow down the Rams' path. Key is really them. I mean, we have other guys like Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett, our tight ends, and then like a Van Jefferson kind of thrown in there, but they haven't really done much this season. I think that whenever we've haven't done a lot offensively, it's because one, if not both, of Kupp and Woods are pretty well covered.
Well, that is definitely for me the matchup I'm most looking forward to on Monday, because the Bears secondary has been tops in the league this year. Mm-hmm. And to see Kyle Fuller and Jalen Johnson match up with Kupp and Woods, I think will be really fascinating to watch on Monday.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. And I think that they'll do a good job. You know, I think it's going to be a real one-on-one battle between each of those receivers in the corner. And that's always fun to watch, because, you know, I could definitely see a lot of contested catches, block catches, interceptions. You know, Jared Goff has been pretty consistent, but, you know, there's been a lot of times when he's under pressure this season that he just throws the ball nowhere near a receiver. Mm. You know, he threw an interception last game that was directly to a corner. Mm. So that's another thing. Like you said, you mentioned your secondary. I would not be surprised if the Bears get a couple of interceptions this game.
That would make me very happy. So that leads me right into my next question. Regarding Jared Goff, you know, he had in 2018, the year they went to the Super Bowl, he had a great year under McVay. But last year, from an outsider's perspective, his year was a lot more up and down, and it seemed to have more downs than ups. Mm-hmm. So is there controversy among Rams fans about how, quote unquote, good Jared Goff is? Or does everybody pretty much think that he is a good quarterback?
There definitely was last season. I'd say not so much this season. I think what happened, so last season, our offensive line was horrible. They were bad until the last two games of the year, honestly, when we made some changes, brought in Austin Corbett, and then put some rookies on the line and moved some things around, and then finally seemed to figure it out. But yeah, he definitely had a bad season last season. I'm not going to blame it all on the offensive line. I think that was a large part of it, because he didn't have much time to throw the ball. And that was obviously something he wasn't used to playing in college. And so far in the NFL, he had pretty good protection. So that was definitely a learning experience for him. But I also think, you know, in the off season and then going into this season, he definitely seems to have calmed down when things like that happen. I mean, he has a lot more time than he did last season. He's just making smarter plays, but he still has times where he doesn't. Like I mentioned, you know, sometimes he just throws the ball right to the other team or out of bounds or just misses an open receiver and things like that. So I definitely think that he's improved a lot. I mean, I think the consensus among us all is that, you know, he's a pretty good quarterback. I mean, he's not Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, but I do think that he's better than a lot of people who aren't Rams fans give him credit for.
Okay, I respect that. Especially because the Bears don't have any good quarterback situation. So all right, getting then into this game, I know it's only Tuesday, but do you have a score prediction or ballpark score or bold predictions or hot takes for the Rams or the Bears in this game?
I think so. For the score, I think that the Rams are going to win 21-10. And it could be anywhere around that. It might not be exactly that. I do think that the Rams will pull it out only because I think that our offense is going to play well. But anything could happen. This is just such a weird game for me because it's like the Bears, like I feel like the Bears are silently, I mean, they're 5-1. Like I said, like you got to give credit to a team that's 5-1.
Right.
And so I definitely would not be surprised if you guys come out and give us a hard time. I think you actually probably will give us a hard time. I do think it's going to be an intense game. Like I said, I think the Bears are going to have a couple interceptions. I think that I do think the Rams will also have some interceptions as well. I think Jalen Ramsey has been a guy this season that's kind of like slowly getting like hotter and hotter each game. So it's not going to surprise me if this is the game where he like really comes out. But yeah, I don't know. Like it's I think this game, I can't really predict any like stakes for this game because nothing will surprise me. It will not surprise me if anything crazy happens this game.
Gotcha. Yeah. This game, I feel like honestly, in many ways, the Bears and the Rams do have a lot of similarities, especially with their defenses both being good. I feel like the Bears, because they have the lesser offense, the Bears have to keep it to a low score game, something like a 17-13 style game, a game that nobody really wants to watch on Monday Night Football except Rams and Bears fans.
Right.
But that's what the Bears will need to do. But yeah, so that is awesome to get a Rams fan's point of view on everything because I don't know nearly as much about the Rams as obviously you do. So thank you so much for coming on. Where can everyone find you and your work?
So you can follow me on Twitter at @TheAlexisCraft. If you want, you can also follow our Rams podcast at Downtown Rams. We cover the Rams, but we also do a lot of NFL draft stuff every year. And yeah, I'm always talking to people on Twitter, fans of all teams, just talking about football. Love it. And I'm excited. Like I said, my dad's side of the family is all Bears fans, and I'm actually going to be watching the game Monday night with my diehard Bears fan grandpa. And I'm excited for the little friendly rivalry that we'll be having the entire game.
That'll be so fun. I can totally relate to that. My grandpa is a diehard Packers fan. And so, yeah, it's
tough.
It's a love-hate relationship, but mostly love. Except for that little sliver of Packers hate. But awesome. Well, thank you, Alexis, so much for coming on. And we'll talk again in the future next time the Rams meet the Bears.
Totally. Awesome. Sounds good.
Thank you again so much to Alexis Kraft for coming on to talk about this exciting Rams-Bears Monday Night Football dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun matchup. All right. Last segment of every preview show is my predictions and promises, or hot takes, however you want to put it. Because obviously I can't really promise any of these things to happen. I just said predictions and promises because, hey, I'm an English major. I like the alliteration. So, first, my Rams bold prediction. I know the Bears' key to the game is to neutralize Aaron Donald. But my prediction, my bold prediction for the Rams is that Aaron Donald records at least 2.5 sacks. So, he has at least, he's probably involved in 3 total sacks. 2 that he does solo, and 1 that he is a part of. So that is my bold Rams prediction. Obviously, I hope Aaron Donald ends the night with 0 sacks. I'd like to see Nick Foles stay healthy. I'd like him to stay safe so we don't have to see Mitchell Trubisky back out there. But Aaron Donald, 2.5 sacks is my bold prediction for the Rams. My bold prediction for the Bears. I've mentioned earlier, too, that the running game has been a challenge. It's not been good. It's been all about the passing game. And the Rams, they have their run defense is iffy, right? So this is based on pretty much nothing. other than just maybe it's just wishful thinking, but something in my gut tells me that sometime soon David Montgomery is due for a breakout game. And I'm going to make my Bears bold prediction is going to be that David Montgomery rushes for 100 yards or more this game on Monday night. And I would add to that prediction that I think he'll have at least one, maybe two runs of at least 20 yards. That'll help him get to that 100-yard mark. So I hope we have a really good overall game, including the rushing game from Montgomery. Again, that's kind of based on nothing other than just wishful thinking. But that's why it's a bold prediction, not a realistic prediction. And lastly, my score prediction for this game. I feel really good about the Bears' chances. If I was betting, again, the line is 6. The Rams are favored by 6. I really would bet the Bears in this game if I was gambling this game, which I'm not. But if I was, I would take the Bears. And I'm also taking the Bears to win this game. There's just something about the Bears, the way they've played the Rams. It really felt last year when they lost to the Rams that it was mainly Trubisky holding them back. And so hopefully this year with Foles at quarterback, that's all the change they need. But the defense knows how to shut down the Rams' offense, so I don't expect them to be scoring very much. It, as it does every week, comes back down to the Bears' offense. How many points can they score? So I have a relatively low-scoring game. Bears scoring close to what their average has been on the road. Rams scoring close to what the Bears' defense points allowed per game average is. Bears 24, Rams 20. So that is my prediction. The Bears this season have a 26-point average on the road, probably especially helped by their wins against Atlanta and Detroit. So I predict that they will continue to score anywhere from that like 23 to 27 point total when they're on the road. And that's why I have the Bears at 24. And I mentioned earlier, the Bears defense is at 19.3 points per game they're allowing opponents. So I have the Rams scoring 20, just above that mark. So just like victory formation, which is what the Bears will triumphantly, hopefully, be on Monday evening, this concludes today's episode. Remember to follow me on Twitter at KEGeorge94 for all my game analysis, snarky humor, and wild opinions regarding your Chicago Bears. You can find my other work at the Shoot Your Shot Sports Network at Shoot Your Shot SP on Twitter. My podcast there is called Real FN Pod. It's called Frustration Nation at Real FN Podcast on Twitter. Follow me there as well. Drop any of your thoughts and live pregame, in-game, postgame reactions at 847-580-3528 or at fullpressbears@gmail.com. I can't wait to hear from you. I'd love to include you in the show. But you know what, Bears fans? It is time for me to go. So be great, be kind, bear down, and I'll see you all next time. Go Bears. Beat the Rams.
Boom, baby! Fade to black!
Been the Full Press Bears Podcast. If you don't love the Bears, we don't love you.